Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU Radio, now also podcast on comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia of Hamilton's Big B Comics, joined as always by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic book history at, where is it, Chris?
Mohawk College here in Hamilton, Ontario. And I love it when you use words like illustrious. It makes me very important.
For you are important, Chris. Oh, you're important to the show. Oh. You're one of the big wheels in the cog. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, sure. I guess it, Cogswell Cogs. And Spacely Sprockets.
Yes.
Yes.
Chris, every Wednesday you and I get together and we discuss all things comics here on the show.
We do.
Wednesday, of course, is New Comic Day.
Yes.
And this is the day that the comics, the new comics, the weekly comics hit the stands and the rush of people come into the shops.
Yes.
And devour everything.
Devour. You know, and as we always say, New Comic Book Day is the only day, the best day of the week. And I know we're always looking forward to hearing what the hot ones are coming out on Wednesdays.
You know what? I'm not necessarily going to delve into hot ones, but interesting ones this week. As Chris mentioned at the beginning of the show, we like to just highlight some new releases today from some of the bigger publishers. Chris, Deadpool number 900 hits the stands today.
Now I know you're pulling my leg.
No, I'm not. Deadpool number 900.
Okay, there's no way that Deadpool has had 900 issues.
Well,
I guarantee you that. Now, granted, it may have a 900th issue, but there hasn't been 900 issues of Deadpool.
You're right, Chris. You know what? You're smarter than...
Well, you know, okay. I am a comic book historian, as
yes.
you say.
Well, it is a 104-page action-packed, I guess, commemorative issue. And, of course, Marvel says, well, we know there's not 900 issues,
sure.
but who cares?
Oh.
So, basically, it's a gimmick.
So, they're making it up.
They're making it.
All right, yeah. Fair enough.
So we don't like that, Marvel. We do like Deadpool, though.
Yes.
Great series, yes. But I don't think you needed the gimmick.
No. You know, Deadpool has already got enough of a fan following. They really don't need to have a gimmick stating that there's 900 issues or anything like that, because there's enough people following it already. There's no need to jump on a bandwagon or anything like that.
Right, or start a trend.
You know what? You know what worries me about stuff like this is that they're going to have some sort of offshoot where in 1 month they're going to have the 900th month, issue of every comic that came out, and it's going to be a look into the future for every 900th issue.
Wasn't DC did that with 1 million DC?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Same crap, you know.
Okay.
And it's,
all
right. I don't like it. I like Deadpool, but I don't like that.
Okay, good. Hey, Iron Man, Iron Protocols number 1 hits the stands today.
Okay.
So all Iron Man fans like seeing something new from Iron Man coming out.
Absolutely.
There's a nice new product of Iron Man hitting the stands today.
Cool.
DC, on the DC side, Action Comics number 882 hits the stands
now,
today.
Now, see, that makes more sense because it's been around since 1936, right?
So 37.
No,
38. No, 38.
Are you 38. Sure?
Yes, 1938.
38?
Action Comics first appearance Superman, 1938.
All right, I thought it was 36.
No,
okay.
Positive.
But I am a comic historian.
Yes. Okay.
Alrighty.
Chris, Greg Rucka writes, and you know what? Who was writing Action last year? What's his name? Jeff Johns, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And he had really elevated Action, the whole Superman line.
He did, that's
line,
true, absolutely.
To
yep.
a great new level.
Yep,
Greg Rucka, obviously, is a very proven writer.
Yes.
He started off with the whole Whiteout stuff.
Yes, yes.
The movie came out of that.
And he's done a lot of Batman stuff.
He did some Wonder Woman.
Yeah, very good, very solid writer.
Yeah. Now, I don't know, though, whether he can kind of... keep the level of interest that
well,
Jeff Johns.
Greg Rucka is very good at bringing new ideas and something, just a little twist to the same old characters that maybe hadn't been thought of before. And I think I think he's going to be able to do that with Superman. You know, the problem with having these characters that have been around for, you know, 70 years is that a lot of times the character has already gone through so many different things, it's
yes.
hard to come up with something different and fresh.
Yes.
But Greg Rucka is a very talented writer, and I think he may not come up with something that's entirely fresh, but maybe a new twist on something.
Right, fair
right?
enough.
So
okay.
I think he's good.
All right, we're going to stop with the new releases right there. As always, please head into your local shop, check out the new this week displays, graphic novels, comic books, and support your local comic store.
Absolutely.
Okay, Chris, we will jump into some industry news.
Industry news. You know, I really like industry news because I don't get a chance to go to the movies that often, but I do like finding out what's going on with movies and promos and television and toys and all that kind of stuff.
Excellent. Well, that's what we're here for, to fill you in.
Oh, well, that's good. I appreciate that. Thanks for all the hard work.
You're welcome. Hey, Chris, now, Chris and I, we're going to start with, it's something that we do try to do once a month, and we visit the New York Times bestseller list.
Yes.
And because the New York Times now has a graphic novel bestseller list, both for hardcover and softcover. So,
okay.
Which is a great thing because, you know, it's another sign of legitimacy for the graphic novel
format.
Absolutely.
You know, Walter and I have quite often talked about how every week, every month, comic books and the graphic medium is becoming more and more legitimate in the whole medium or media, really.
Media.
And I think it's great that the New York Times has something like this.
Excellent. Well, start with the hardcovers. Chris, you know what? When this comic came out half a year ago or so, I didn't know how to pronounce it, and I won't know how to pronounce it again. The Batman...
Cacophony.
Cacophony.
Yeah.
Gosh darn.
Yeah, Cacophony.
Yeah, Batman Cacophony, written by Kevin Smith, is the best-selling... The hardcover.
You know what? That's
That's new.
That's new. You know, I like that. I like that, and I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because it's new, and I like that because it's going to introduce all kinds of new readers to Batman, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
Especially if it's new in the new readers list. However, I think a lot of people are going to pick it up because it's Kevin Smith who's done the writing of it. And which is, it's for me, is a double-edged sword. I think it's great that, you know, Kevin Smith is writing and it is drawing in new readers. However, I think people might be buying it just because it's Kevin Smith.
Well, you know what? You know. I think maybe the combination of the two drove it to number one.
Sure.
I mean, you got a massive loyal following of Batman fans.
Yes.
And you get Kevin Smith fans.
Right.
And you put Kevin Smith writing Batman.
Absolutely,
and
absolutely.
You got New York Times number one bestseller.
Yeah, that's great.
Number two. A Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Wait, didn't that come out like 1934?
39 was the movie.
All right.
Apparently, it's The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Format into graphic novel format.
Really?
Basically kind of an adaptation into a graphic novel.
Okay.
Of the story. And that is two seller.
Is that the one by Scotty Young?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Another one you mean now. Yeah.
Eric
okay.
Shanower and Scotty Young. Yep. Marvel.
Scotty Young's got a great sort of animated style that actually fits very well with this with Wizard of Oz.
Right. Right. Now that is the third week. So number one and two, like something that you and I like to pull here. Number one and two are basically new to the list.
Yes, that's which is great.
Excellent, which is what we're looking for. Yep. These are new products, and they're placing high on the bestseller list.
Yes.
Of course, number three, Batman the Killing Joke, is something that we don't want to see at number three. We don't mind it being there maybe at number 10 or 9.
Yeah.
That's just, that won't go away. That's like Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah,
right?
It will always stay in there. Zeppelin 4.
Yes.
Yeah,
Mercy Thompson's Homecoming, which is a graphic novel based on, I guess, off the novels. There's some prose novels there, and this is another adaptation of some prose novels.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Then you have, I'll go quickly over it, another Batman. Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader?
Well, I just want to point that one out because that was by Neil Gaiman.
Yes.
And of course, that one I think was number one at one point as well, right?
Yes, so, 12th weekend,
and that's a new one too.
Right.
So
relatively new.
Well,
yeah. 3 months
old. It's no Killing Joke. It's no Watchmen, right? So
then we have the Joker. It was very Batman heavy.
Yep.
At number nine, you have Batman R.I.P., another very long in the tooth Batman story.
Yeah. Long in the tooth. What are you, 80 years old?
And number 10, we'll just cap it off with Dark Avengers Volume 1 coming in at number 10. Dark Avengers, very popular on the Marvel front.
Yep, that's great.
Okay, going
like
over
it.
To softcover.
Yes.
This is something great. I like to see. It is a comic called Logic Comics.
Okay.
An Epic Search for Truth.
Oh.
It's basically...
I've never heard of it.
It's a Greek comic book biography on the life of philosopher Bertrand Russell...
Okay.
And it's right now it's number one on the softcover list.
Wow, I guess I better check it out.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
You know, now I've heard of Bertrand Russell as a philosopher.
Okay.
And sexual free thinking, He was. I believe he was around the Second World War.
Okay,
that whole time frame for Bertrand Russell.
Right, right.
And just the fact that they're trying to, I guess, you know, put his philosophies or his thoughts into a graphic novel form, and it being the number one selling graphic novel of the week is either some good marketing or
really good philosophy.
Yeah, yes. Or really good philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So now it's written by, I'm trying to look at who it's written by.
Bertrand Russell?
No.
Oh.
No. Oh, my goodness.
Is he still alive?
This is, no.
Oh, okay.
No. This is the Apostolos Doxiadis wrote it.
Oh.
And a whole bunch of his Greek cousins, I think, helped him out.
You can't read the names, can you?
No, I can't. You know what? There's a Nick in there, an Alex in there, and maybe a Stathis.
Well, of course there's a Nick in there.
Yes, and perhaps a
okay. A Chris, perhaps?
And
Christos?
A Christophs. Yeah, yes, yeah, Christophs. Yeah. Okay, good. Watchmen is at number two.
Oh, what a surprise.
Yes. Viva for Vendetta is in there. The Surrogates is at number 10
on the
list. And it, I think, excuse me, the movie that came out with Bruce Willis that did not do that well.
No.
That was obviously off the graphic novel.
Yes.
But, you know, a little bit of payback justice here. The movie now has resurrected the graphic novel back up into the top seller list, which is nice to see.
Right.
Okay. So that'll take care of our New York Times lists for this month.
All right. Now, what else we got going on for industry news? Anything else?
Now, there is some sad news coming out of the industry news.
Uh-oh.
Excuse me. Now, Joe Rosen, who was a very famous, I guess, letterer.
Okay.
He passed away.
Oh, okay.
Now, he was a letterer. Now, Chris, you're more into the... I kind of caught this story and it interested me.
Yeah.
I would not assume that a letterer, like, this is basically the guy that writes the word.
Yeah, lines. Yeah. Well, yeah. So the letters.
You know, like, I thought that was a typewriter.
No. You know what? You're going to. Okay, this is why I teach comic book history.
And I don't.
Yeah. So I followed, actually, believe it or not, I actually followed a lot of letterers' lives at one point in my life because I wanted to be a letterer.
Because you didn't have a life.
I didn't have any skills.
Okay.
And so I thought, you know what?
Our life.
And I thought maybe I to be a letterer, so I started getting my drafting equipment out and seeing if I could do a letter, become a letterer, and I was horrible at it. But
is that like a form of calligraphy?
Yeah, in a way. You just you, not only do you write the letters in the word balloons, but you also do all like the special effect sounds, I'll call them.
Right.
So
the pow,
like the pow,
the
thwack, and all that kind of
right.
stuff. And there's one guy that was always a favorite of mine. His name's Tom Orzechowski, and I don't know why I remember these things, but.
Okay.
As I said, you know, fantastic lettering, and a lot of times now they do use computers because they're able to use the kind of scripts and the kind of fonts that lettering was kind of traditionally done.
Right.
However, for many years, done by hand.
Right. And so this Joe Rosen, who worked way back in the days of Lee and Kirby.
Right. Right.
Now, his claim to fame for lettering is he lettered the Frank Miller Born Again Daredevil storyline.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Which I read. It's one of the best comic storylines. Where Kingpin discovers his secret identity and stuff. Truly just an epic story.
Absolutely.
And he was the letterer on
that. That's awesome.
So,
that's awesome. Well, sad news, though.
Yeah, sad to hear anybody, you know, a talent like that leaving us.
Yeah.
Now, I have another one here. Chris, this doesn't make sense to me whatsoever, but...
Why?
Archie.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
He's married now, isn't he?
Well, he married Veronica.
Right.
Okay, now, the story lead in here is Archie has his wedding cake and eats two.
Eats two wedding cakes?
I hope so. Careful.
Well, I mean, that's what you're telling me here.
Well,
right?
Listen, the story goes like this. Last May, the comic world was shocked by the knowledge that, you know, Archie will marry Veronica in issue 600, which, by the way, sold 54,000 copies compared to the normal sales of 2,400 a month.
Oh, really? That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good. Now, apparently...
Archie only sells 2,400 copies a month?
A month.
Apparently. Really?
Yeah.
And it's still
now,
going.
That's direct market to comic stores.
Oh, okay. At
the
grocery stores
and stuff, there's a lot more. But I think they sell the digest there and stuff like that. Anyway, apparently, though, before Archie got married, he walked in the forest, and like it was called Memory Lane or something like that. It was a path called Memory Lane, and right before this story of Veronica's wedding, he went to the, I forget, left or right.
Okay.
And then the wedding ensued. Well, now they're
going
backwards, and now he's going to veer to the right.
Oh.
So this is like a DC imaginary story.
Right, right.
So they actually have the audacity. This is what upsets me. Is they're going to come out with an Archie marries Betty story. That's atrocious.
So that's why he's eating two wedding cakes, because he's marrying both Betty and Veronica.
And Veronica, yes.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, and that's good.
You know, we should have seen it coming, really. It's who knows whenever he's going to really get married, if ever.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, now, what I didn't understand when I read the article was this, is this Veronica wedding an imaginary wedding, too? I would imagine so.
You know what? I bet it's going to be left up so ambiguous, though, that the reader is going to have to decide for themselves to find out whether he actually married Veronica or Betty, and there's going to be some sort of ambiguous ending to it so that you will never really know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so that way he can go on dating both of them and it'll never be a big deal.
Right. And that's what I think. I think from the way I understood the article, I think they're both going to end up being, you know, this walk down memory lane, and him taking the right path and him taking the left path and something, which I don't know though if Archie fans are going to backlash. You know what I'm saying?
Like, no, they won't.
Archie fans aren't. I mean, there was 2,400 of them to begin with.
Right.
And now there's like 51,600 more.
Yeah, you know what? Nobody's really going to care.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Bryan Singer.
Yes.
At the Busan International Film Festival in South Korea.
Okay.
Has mentioned that he would like to do another X-Men movie.
Oh, Get Out. Really? Yes. Okay.
Now, he directed the first two.
Yes, and then I don't remember who it was, but somebody else took over for the third one.
Right.
And it was kind of a bit of a flop-ish kind of thing.
I think I have it here. Brett Ratner.
Oh, Brett Ratner. Oh, right. Right.
Right. And while Gavin Hood directed the Wolverine movie.
Right,
So
that was even worse.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. Yeah. Singer will come back, apparently, and because Fox still has the rights. And,
right.
And like we mentioned before on the show, it's the use it or lose it clause with Marvel.
So does that mean there's actually going to be a full X-Men movie, or is it going to be... Really? So it's not just going to be like a Wolverine, like offshoot kind of thing?
Well, you know what? Maybe too early. He has mentioned that he is in talks with doing another X-Men film.
Oh,
now,
okay.
X-Men could be Wolverine.
It could be a Storm movie.
Right.
Who knows? Yeah.
Magneto. I heard there was talk about Magneto movie and stuff. So
Colossus, the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Though, I seen that. Oh, wait a minute. That was another movie. Okay.
That was not the X-Men.
Right. Okay. We're going to finish with the Harvey Awards.
Okay.
The Harvey Awards are an annual industry award.
Yeah, so it's...
Into excellence in comics.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the Grammys. It's like the Oscars. The Harveys... It's another offshoot. It's a little bit different from the Eisners.
Right.
You know, the Harveys tend to... congratulate and be a little bit more about individual writers and individual artists and sort of independent guys, littler guys, really heavily reliant on the notions of cartooning and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes. But they do have categories for a lot of categories.
Of course.
And I've kind of highlighted the ones that comics, I guess, writers and stuff.
Right.
So Grant Morrison won Best Writer for his All-Star Superman.
Very cool.
Okay. Gabriel Ba
won
Best Artist for his...
you see, now that's something that I don't think you would have seen that in the Eisners.
Right. Umbrella Academy.
It's a little bit different. It's a little more avant-garde.
Yes.
It's a little newer. Yeah, that's good. I like to see that. That's good.
Rick Moranis won for Best Inker.
I don't think it's Rick Moranis.
Oh, right, you're
Mark
right.
Morales.
Mark Morales won for.
I don't think one of the Mackenzie brothers won.
Oh my goodness!
Good day.
Yeah. How's it going, eh? He won for Thor, yep. And James Dean won for...
It's not Jimmy Dean. It's not James Dean. Man. It's James Gene.
James Gene. That's what I meant to say. Yes, yes. He won for Best Cover Artist for Fables.
Well, as he should. He's a fantastic artist.
Is that
artist.
The guy that... he doesn't do them anymore. He just did the covers.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're all those funky kind
of... Oh, yeah. There was craziness. Yeah. And, he used to put out those art books called Process Recess.
Okay.
As he said, there's a process... And then there's a recess.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Good for him.
Yeah, well, you know.
Okay. What else we have? Oh, best new talent was Brian J.L. Glass.
Right.
And he did The Mice Templar for Image.
Oh, very cool. You know, The Mice Templar is an interesting book. It's kind of, you know, I don't want to say in the tradition of that other mouse book. I can't remember what's kind of
what Pedersen one.
Yeah, the David Pedersen book.
David Pedersen. Okay.
But it's sort of along that same kind of lines where it's a whole bunch of mice.
Mouse guard.
That's mouse the one, guard. Yeah. So it's a bunch of mice, and they have their own little story, and it's very cute, and it's very fun. But it sort of is, you know, I don't want to say that mice are the next penguins or anything like that, but it sort of is in comic books.
Right, you just don't want to find them in a boot when you're putting it on.
No, you really don't want to know, no.
Okay, I'm going to finish with Best Continuing Series, which also Superman won.
Oh, cool.
And Best New Series was Echo.
Oh, I have not read. That's the one by Terry Moore.
Okay, yes, Terry Moore.
Right, Terry Moore.
Abstract Studios.
Yeah, and of course, before he did Echo, he was doing Strangers in Paradise.
Right, yes, Strangers in Paradise.
Yeah.
Okay, so that kind of caps off the Harvey Awards.
That's cool.
And that will cap off our industry news.
Right, okay.
And Chris, this week I thought we'd visit something something that struck a chord with me when I read the Archie thing.
Right. Well, you know, last week we were talking about all the different properties and kids and things like that. And so, sorry, what were you going to say?
No, you're right. We did talk about all the different properties and Archie Comics getting a company to promote their properties.
Right.
DC realigning their whole structure around getting their properties up to the maximum potential in terms of movies, TV, whatever.
Well, now Marvel is
with
part
the
of
Disney,
Disney
thing, and everybody, all these studios clamoring now to keep the properties, like say the Marvel properties, right? All these studios are rushing with, you know, the new Ghost Rider and the new whatever, just not to give it back to Marvel,
right? Keep the rights,
keep the rights. So I wanted to explore. I mean, last week we even mentioned that flipping. Hasbro has signed on with this company to license movies for, you know, Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like that. And I wanted to explore today. I mean, how far can this go?
Right. Right.
I mean, how deep into the libraries of these comic publishers can you go?
That's right.
And keep making money off of making movies.
You know, as we've seen already. Hollywood is running out of ideas. All the greatest ideas are coming out of Hollywood, or out of comic books, right?
As, remember as the, I don't know if this is related, but remember the Flintstones when Fred and Barney wanted to become writers for songs? They wanted to write hit songs?
Yeah.
And Fred came up with, he's sitting there with Barney, he's going, "All right, Barney, we're going to write a love song to my mother." And let's see, they've already written songs about her eyes and her lips. That leaves the ears and the throat. You know, so I don't know if that's, you know what I'm saying.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
You know, Spider-Man, yes, but, you know,
well,
Squirrel
remember,
Girl,
did,
I don't
did,
know.
Didn't Fred also write that poem about Wilma where, my wife with dainty hands and eyes so black like frying pans?
The man was a poet.
Well, he was fantastic.
Way ahead of his time.
That's right, yeah. Just getting back to reality here for a second. You know, Marvel does have a lot of properties, and who knows what they're going to do with them. I know that there is...
They want to exploit every last one of them.
Yeah, clearly. But as you said, is there going to be a Great Lakes Avengers movie? Is there going to be a Squirrel Girl movie?
Right.
Annex, the movie... who knows, right?
I mean, the thing though is, there may not be movies.
No,
but There will be
radio plays,
something, TV, teletoon shows,
well, you know,
video games. I think what they're doing is they're trying to milk, you know, the most things possible out of any kind of franchise or licensor or trademark.
Absolutely. And all the power to them. I mean, we know that DC has been doing that for many, many years, and I have to say that they're far better at it than Marvel has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
With the Superman franchises, Wonder Woman, Batman, you know, they've had all kinds of cartoons and all kinds of toys and video games. The newest Batman Arkham Asylum video game is like number one on all the hit lists.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. I think you're right in the sense there that I think, let's say, the layman out there will only catch it on the radar if it's a theatrical movie release.
Right.
But there's a lot of money at stake here, just below that movie level, the TV level of, say, a cartoon or a video game license level or flipping a pajama pattern
level. Right, for sure. The possibilities are endless, really. Yeah. But I think what we were talking about earlier was what's going to happen with all these pseudo comic book character licenses that are going to be coming, you know, having like their own movies and their own television shows, like you mentioned, Stretch Armstrong.
Yes.
Right? So is Hasbro all of a sudden going to go to the well and make, you know, a Hungry Hungry Hippos
TV show
or something? Like, who knows,
will.
Right? They like, it's,
will.
And I think there's only so much that the mass audiences are going to be able to absorb and enjoy.
Well, I think, though, it's like anything else here. It's like they have a formula now, and it's making them money.
Right.
So right now, they are just rushing. It's like a gold rush now. It's like a gold rush, and it will not stop until the flops start hitting them in the face.
That's right.
I don't think a lot of these studio heads or whatever know. I mean, not that we would know.
No.
But they would just, keep it coming, keep it coming.
But you know what? In one sense, they're going to go through a process that the Marvel the comic book industry of the 1990s went through.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at how they marketed comics in the early 90s, it was mass everything. It was throw this the glow in the dark covers. Mm-hmm. It was die cut covers. It was special covers. It was 14 different kind of covers,
right.
And they kind of threw everything that they could possibly out to the wind and hoping that you would buy it until the market dropped because people finally said, you know what, this is all crap. In the late 90s you started getting some really good stuff coming out, you know, so you had the emergence of, you know, maybe even before the late 90s you had like The Preacher and you know, Why the Last Man, and all these kind of really cool comics coming out.
Even things like Ultimate Spider-Man
was coming out in like the, you know, 2000.
Yeah.
You know, and you had all these really great ideas. And so finally people started realizing, hey, you know what? Maybe if we actually put some good stuff
quality stuff out there,
People will buy it. And I think the marketing industry with comic books is going to go through those growing pains that eventually we're going to get some really cool stuff.
Right, so what you're trying to say is we have to kind of fall over the cliff first with these movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's the natural animal that capitalism is.
Yeah.
It's just going to kind of grab and grab and grab until you know, everything just implodes.
That's right, and that happens with almost every major marketing industry out there. Like, you look at, you know...
If it's successful, if they smell success,
yes,
everybody rushes to it at once.
And then the cream will rise to the top.
Right, and then everything else kind of...
Yeah.
But there's so much money put into it it's going to be lost. We hope not. I mean,
no. Well,
I'm a fan of all this stuff that they're doing.
And you know what? I joke, but I would love to see a Squirrel Girl movie.
Right.
Hopefully, it would make it so quirky and fun. It shows that there's more of an interest in comics. Right.
Right.
I would love to see all that kind of stuff. I would love to see comics.
But maybe we'll be saved by. I guess the changing demographics of the people, the young people that are out there, the young people like when you and I were young, Chris.
Yeah, gosh.
But what I'm saying is, we didn't really like our comic taste didn't matter, or we were a niche. We were a niche with the comic things.
Right.
Now, every young guy or young woman growing up now has they understand what the comic industry is.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And they're going to be much more accepting of maybe the secondary or tertiary type of characters. So maybe there's a lot more cushion than you and I, you know, being old timers.
Yeah, there could be. Think. Yeah, absolutely.
I hope
for
so.
Sure, for sure.
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we're going to, like I said, go through those growing pains, but I think a lot of good's going to come out of it. But once again, unbelievably, we've run out of time here. And
where does it go, Chris? The time?
I don't know. We really need to have an hour long show.
Yeah.
So and if you two agree that we should have an hour long show, you can write to us at Bigby Comics at mailbox at bigbycomics.com or chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca. Go there, support your local comic book retailer, and have yourself a wonderful day.
See everybody next week.